Blog Talk Radio.
Another Friday night's edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're talking about what real police reform looks like post the release of the Tyrese Nichols videotape and the Aaron Dean trial that was seen around the world. Can another Tatiana Jefferson, Sherrall Thomas, Michael Jacobs, Philando Castillo, Tyree Nichols, Breonna Taylor, Boffin John, or Eric Garner be avoided if we move quickly to address police reform? That's what we're talking about tonight. What systems need to change and what systems need to be put in place to create an ideal police department that the community can trust and respect? How did we get here, and how can we fix it? That's what we're talking about tonight. To join the discussion, the call-in number is 515-605-9321, then press 1 once connected. But before we begin, a disclaimer, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Let's Talk Fort Worth, the host, or any advertisers. With that said, Let's Talk Fort Worth. Listen, y'all, this has been a crazy week. Seeing what we've seen with the videotape of Tyrese Nichols and the beating that he took that was similar to that of Rodney King. Most people are in shock by what they've seen, but I'm not, because I'm someone who grew up in Memphis, and I know that the Memphis Police Department is notorious for doing some of the things that we saw on that tape. So tonight we're going to start off with Attorney Leon Reed telling us what police reform should look like. Good evening, Attorney Reed. How are you?
Good evening. Can you hear me okay? I'm in my car. I just wanted to make sure you could.
We can hear you. You know, I'm sure you, like everyone else, have seen the Tyrese Nichols tape. Attorney Reed, what did you think when you saw that?
Well, obviously I was disappointed, but I was not surprised. Just whenever you give an entity that kind of power for that long, there's going to be pushback in giving it up. It's not a natural state for people to willingly want to give up power and authority. And police departments have been given a lot of leeway for a lot of years, and the public has turned a blind eye and opened up checkbooks for a long time for police. And now that there is public pushback, that mindset has been ingrained in a lot of the cops that are still with the departments right now. That mindset, unfortunately, is still being taught, and departments commit to several different aspects of policing. First of all, with the recruits that they bring in, as we saw in the Aaron Dean trial, Aaron Dean should not have been a police officer. So once you start dealing with the quality of the individual coming in, then you want to address their training. And we can get into that a little bit deeper into the conversation. The day-to-day operations of how police and citizen interactions should look, and then create a culture of accountability within departments, because that's still, unfortunately, an area that a lot of departments, primarily and in large part due to the police unions, are pushing back against citizens. They don't want to be transparent. They apparently don't want to be held accountable in a lot of situations, because the unions step up simply regardless of what happens. But, you know, interestingly enough, you haven't heard from the police union in Memphis about this.
Nothing. So when you saw, when
I
you
wonder
first
why.
I do too. And you know, when another thing, talking about the union, you know, we saw Aaron Dean's PO pay out a whole bunch of money for his defense team, and he had, you know, a Johnny Cochran style defense team. Do you think that the POA in Memphis will pick up the defense funds for 7 officers who have now been fired? Or I think there's 6 working on 7.
Well, when you have 5. Well, it'll be interesting to see, because we got at least 5 black cops. I don't know. I know 1 white. I don't know the last person. But it'll be interesting to see if their union, you know, steps up and funds their defense. As if they were paying union members, you would think that the union would. But the union may do it quietly and not have such a prolific, such a, I'm losing my mind because I'm driving and I'm looking over, but they may not be as public and in the forefront as some of these other cases have been.
You know what, I question that, because, you know, I saw where 3 of them were Q dogs, and their fraternities have already, you know, basically distanced themselves from them and said, listen, they're no longer members of our organization. You know, we don't condone what happened. And so if your own fraternity brothers don't want anything to do with you, will the Fraternal Order of Police do the same thing, simply because, not that they probably haven't seen this thing, this type of thing before, but since it's so public and it's almost as if, you know, more than likely these guys may be found guilty unless there's some kind of something going on that we don't know about, but we know that there was cameras, there was Skycop cameras on the polls, and we also know some of them have body camera footage. And you say you did not know who the seventh officer was. I am being told, and information is being released out of Memphis, that the seventh person was a lieutenant, the lieutenant who came on the scene. And his name is allegedly Dwayne Maurice Smith, who would be the seventh person. So does that change
would that be
everything?
Six African-Americans and one white?
Yeah.
Now, the union, again, if they are dues-paying members, that's kind of like insurance, where if my policy is active at the time, you have to step up and represent me. And so it may be, but that union, if they had been paying their dues and they got into a situation that falls within the scope of the union's obligation, the union may be obligated to provide a defense.
But, you know, you're a criminal attorney. What would a defense look like for seven people, you know, charged with those kind of charges? And, y'all, the charges were something that we've never seen before. Second-degree murder, aggravated kidnapping. We saw oppression, official oppression. Y'all, excuse me, I'm looking for my notes. But we've never seen officers charged with official misconduct, aggravated assault, act in concert. What is up with those charges, and why haven't we ever seen officers charged with kidnapping and things like second-degree murder and aggravated assault in concert and official misconduct? Why have we never seen those kind of charges before?
Well, first of all, you have to realize under federalism, every state has its own statute. Texas does not have the only degrees of murder that Texas has is murder and capital murder. We don't have first, second, third degree. Some states do, but Texas does not have, you know, second degree murder or things like that. That state does. So their statute will define what second degree murder is. Now, but we do have official oppression. We do have kidnapping. Now, there are some elements that are typically going to be the same. And and murder is causing the intentional death of someone else. Typically, murder is an intentional crime. Manslaughter, conversely, unintentional. And so they're charging him. Just based off of general attorney knowledge, they're saying you, by the force and the beating that you gave him, you intended to kill him.
Wow.
Maybe not then, or you should have known using that amount of force could have killed him. So whereas you have an aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, that's force, or force that could cause serious bodily injury or death. If it causes serious bodily injury, you're looking at aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, you cause a death, you may be looking at a murder. And so, but kidnapping is not necessarily moving a person from one place to another, but it could also be what we call in Texas unlawful restraint, where you keep someone from unlawfully moving. And so the district attorney could have said, hey, you infringed upon his liberty, that once the force used was unjustified and you kept him from fleeing, you unlawfully restrained him, and that would generally fall under the kidnapping provisions. But I would have to go and read Tennessee's statutes to get deep into the actual charges. Official oppression is using your authority under color of law in an unlawful manner. You can't run up on somebody saying that I'm a cop, you know, to do some old, you know, you got to do what I say when we're at the high school football game and I'm not breaking any law. By you hollering you're a cop and flashing your badge to get it done, you know, that type of conduct is what can get you an official oppression or a retaliation charge.
Well, let me ask you, when you saw the videotape, and I have not been able to watch them all the way through, it's just too graphic. But that said, when you watched the videotape, what did you see initially that they did wrong just from the jump?
Well, one, there was 0 to 100. And again, that comes from a mindset of do what I say and do it right now. And that's generally the authority that the public in many jurisdictions has given to police officers. But in recent history, the sheriff down in Volusia County, Florida, he decided, you know what, in all of these European countries, you know, where the police officers don't have weapons and things like that, how do they go about arresting people in these situations? And so instead of going to Israel, which, as we know, can be somewhat of a combat zone, and getting trained by Israeli police departments, which the city of Fort Worth has done in the past.
Really?
They decide, oh, yes, public information request. Fort Worth has sent officers to learn from Israeli police. And policing it in Israel is nothing like policing in Como, Stop 6, the South Side, or downtown Fort Worth. But this sheriff decided, I'm going to go to these people who don't have weapons and who have to use means of de-escalation to you know, in their practice of policing. And you know what? He came back. He employed their tactics, saw, I think, a full one-third, if not more, reduction in uses of force, and there was no detriment, no increases of crime. And the sheriff is like, look, we're saved. If I can wait, you know, an extra 5 minutes, 10 minutes when I got somebody frustrated and just chill for a second, you know, be at a safe distance, make sure that they're not in a potential to harm someone else, but just let them vent a few. If that person and my officer can go home at the end of the night, whether they're in custody or just survive that encounter because somebody didn't have their chest out and said, I said, do it right now. You're not moving fast enough. I'm going to put my hands on you. Then that's the benefit. And other departments are taking notice. And that's also coming by virtue of lawsuits. You know, so as you get deeper into the conversation, of course, you got to get into qualified immunity, other aspects of what can and should be done.
Let's talk about, because I know you got to go. Oh, tell us this. When have we ever seen where the fire department and the EMTs got charged, and what changed in this situation to allow us to see this in this case, in the Tyrese Nichols case?
Well, when the fire department and police officers have separate unions, and in Fort Worth they have their own separate collective bargaining agreement. But generally speaking, when the fire department shows up in that type of environment, they're there as medical, and medical attention can in some situations supersede the policing function. You got somebody that's medically incapacitated, your arrest comes secondary to me saving that life. And by those people just standing around and not taking any action, yeah, you just availed yourself to a lawsuit for failing to act in your medical capacity. You were there to ensure the sanctity of life, but instead you stood by and watched the life deplete from this human soul.
So are we potentially talking about lawsuits for the city of Memphis, the city of Memphis Police Department, the city of Memphis Fire Department, you know, the hospital that may have been complicit in some way? All of those potential entities may be sued?
They're all potential defendants. If the paramedic company was subcontracted, you know, not, you know, because different cities can have it different ways. Some cities have city-run ambulances. Other ones subcontracted to, you know, whoever gets there first, you know. And if you had multiple ambulatory agencies on scene, anybody that was there who was there to provide medical attention and failed to do so in a reasonable and timely manner, you're getting sued, and you're going to, and we'll let, and that's the way the attorneys do. We're suing everybody, and we'll let y'all point the finger in court. You know, but you're all getting sued.
But if we were to look at it like that, wouldn't that be the same case with the Tatiana Jefferson and her being allowed to bleed out by Aaron Dean?
The city of Fort Worth Police Department is being sued. It's my, in the civil, that's part of, that should be, I don't want to get too far ahead of Lee, but that when in that lawsuit and in that civil rights, yeah, that's going to be part of it. You violated her rights by not acting.
Because I don't even understand it. If you realize that you shot me and you shouldn't have, it should be your first instinct to come and try to make sure that I survive. And we know that that's not what happened with the Tatiana Jefferson. So it's just mind-boggling how many cases we keep hearing of people were allowed to bleed out. It's almost as though a dead victim can't talk, so it's better that they die than them live to tell their story. Which, what type of protecting and serving are you doing if you think like that, if that's your mindset?
Well, that's not the only example. When you saw I can't remember his name, but it was caught on video where he, I think it had something to do with child support, and he got shot, and the police officer just casually walked up to him and didn't try to render any aid, but the guy on the side who videotaped it, saw the callousness. The cop almost looked irritated that he shot him. He didn't intend to go up and to save his life. When he shot him and that man laid dying on the ground, he intended to let him die. He was charged and convicted. But that mindset, the devaluation, and you hear the words that Attorney Crump and the family and the national spokespeople, you did not recognize this man's humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll catch a lot of the old heads who lived through the civil rights era. They won't say it was civil rights. They will say we were looking for human rights. We were looking to be recognized as human beings. If you recognize me as a human being, the civil liberties are going to come a whole lot easier. And so we were just wanting to be recognized as human beings. So I've heard a lot of the old heads say that was the human rights movement, and that's the same thing that we're still seeing today, is African Americans wanting to be recognized as being human beings. Can we get that? Can we say that my human life matters? Are you following me?
I do. And, you know, we're hearing them say out of Memphis that maybe Memphis will be the blueprint for cities across the country in terms of the way this was handled. Are we likely to see that in Fort Worth, Texas?
Well, I'm not overly impressed yet with what Memphis did. They did terminate the officers up front, but they were slow in releasing the body cam footage. They still haven't released all of the body cam footage. So please believe that at some point the city attorneys for Memphis were in the chief of police's ear saying, we ain't trying to just empty out the vault. So, you know, so don't go out and just, you know, put all of this stuff out, because we'll be paying for, you know, for years. And so there are some things that worked in their favor, but they haven't been fully and completely transparent yet. And so, and I've spoken when I've spoken with various chiefs of police. There are plenty of chiefs of police who want to do stuff the right way and
who are frustrated with what they told me they call zombie cops. Cops, Leon, that we don't want in the uniform, but we can't seem to get rid of them. I try to fire them. The union steps in. We go to arbitration. Now we're in arbitration. What does the arbitrator want to do? Arbitrator wants to go middle of the road and please everybody. So suspend them for a month without pay, but reinstate their job. They're young, and you know. And next thing you know, I got somebody in a uniform, in my uniform, that I don't want in my uniform, smiling in my face, but I can't seem to get rid of them. Zombie cops. That's what they called them. And so it may be, you know, and in some situations, these cops, they go the whole way. They go to trial. They got fired when they got charged. And then when they get acquitted, they're showing right back up at the police department saying, I want my back pay and I want my job reinstated. And
but you know what?
In some places it happens.
But let's be truthful, or let's be real. If these protesters in Memphis, the Cassio Montezes and the Paula Burrises and the Frank Egottis of Memphis and Ambers, and LG Abraham, I think her name is, if it had not been those people out in the street, it's likely that we would not be here today, right, talking about a Tyrese Nichols. The city's not that as transparent as the city.
Protesting has been a part of the American fabric since the Boston Tea Party. That was a protest, and it caused property damage. You know. They tore some stuff up in Boston. Okay, now we laud that in our history books, but, you know, today is frowned upon. Now, but when you – so, yes, protesters play a part and everybody plays a part. And sometimes the protests come before the demands. But you always want, at the end of the day, at the end game, you want to know what is it specifically. You always want to have some type of actionable plan at the end. We want this, that, and this once, because at some point in time, the dust is going to settle from that protest and the vocalizations and the verbalizations, and you're going to be trying to get something done. And you have to know what that is. You have to know what the end game is. We can talk about, you know, getting to California, but at some point we got to be able to get gas in the car and start heading west.
Right. You know, the thing is, and I love what the protesters there did, but people do not realize protesters basically are putting their lives on the line because there's going to be a pushback at some point. You know, it just does. It just happens. And so, you know, people don't realize it would be better if everybody stood up at the same time rather than putting it on the back of 10 people, you know, and expecting them to carry the whole city. You know, it's time for everybody to call for police reform and not just a few. You agree with that?
I would say nationally, that national conversation has to continue to be at the forefront in D.C. And when it comes to local protesting, what you don't want is the blip where everybody's mad for a month and then everybody's mad for another month when the trial happens, but there's nothing in between. Here at the city of Fort Worth, we'll see when something has happened for a month, sometimes maybe two, you know, there'll be sustained people at city council meetings, but then it tails off. And so what you and they know and they rely on just riding out that hot moment. And so but you want to have the different various organizations be organized to the degree that, hey, my organization will be down there the first and the fourth council meeting, you know, week of the month. Yours can handle the second. Yours can handle the third. We all stay together. And that way we're sending new people down there every week when they have their meetings. we have people present and we're pushing our agenda as a collective, and our voices are being heard as a collective, and it's being done over a sustained period of time so that there is not a blip and a quick burnout. And so, yes, more people do need to be actively involved. There is no sideline in this. Mm-hmm. As Dr. King said, injustice for one is injustice for all. Everybody, you know, if you don't deal with Ebola while it's in Africa, sooner or later it's going to be at your door.
That's true.
Okay? So, and this is the same concept. If you're not dealing with social injustices, sooner or later it will show up at your door, and you're going to be looking for support from someone.
And, you know, we got to get to the polls, don't we? We got to realize the people who are not handling these situations right, that are in leadership, and vote them out and vote for stronger people who can handle situations like this and handle it correctly.
Girl, it sounds like you were eavesdropping on our meeting that we had recently with the L. Clifford Davis Legal Association and the African American Lawyers Section of the State Bar. Look, at the end of the day, the thing that we discussed drove back to the ballot box.
Yeah.
Because the police department is run by the chief. The chief mm-hmm. is selected. You don't run for chief of police.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get appointed by the city council. And so if the city council said, chief, we don't want you using tasers, we've had to settle 10 taser lawsuits, find something else. Guess what the chief has to do? He has to find something else. If the council says do this or we don't want that, then the chief has to find a different way. And so we have to continue to push and press our council members and elect council members who have the mindset of everyone is a human being and need, none of us have a heaven or hell to put them in. So we need to be treating people as best as we can while they're here. And if people do run for office, don't just chirp, cut checks.
Let me ask you one other question, because I just realized through a report that was put out by Newsbreak and also by Fort Worth Report, that the city of Fort Worth has what they call self-insurance. So they're not insured for lawsuits like police brutality and police murders and that type of thing. So they pay out less than anybody else. So for the same time period that Fort Worth has situations and Dallas has situations, Dallas had paid out $10 million, and Fort Worth had only paid out $2.2 million. And literally they say most lawsuits in Fort Worth don't even go through. Is that really fair
That is an absolute truth. Fort Worth fights tooth and nail when it comes to having to avoid paying checks. They will fight tooth and nail to try to get those cases thrown out. And it still bothers me to this day that David Colley was not compensated in any way. And for those listeners who don't know who David Colley is, he went in 30 seconds from walking to a wheelchair when police officer Hugo Barron pulled up when they were supposed to be looking for somebody 6'2" with a fro, and David Colley's 5'5" with a fade, pulled up, and from within 30 seconds, David Colley went from walking to a wheelchair, was paralyzed from the waist down. He had handcuffed, had his ankle cuffed that he couldn't even move to a hospital bed. And basically the man ended up dying damn near a depression. And after he got bogusly charged, and that stuff ultimately ended up getting dismissed. But the city of Fort Worth fights tooth and nail. But others, Arlington even pays more. But but one distinctive time period that I know when Fort Worth paid is when you had people drown at the Water Garden. I've seen people who drowned at the Water Garden. Nothing against that family,
mm-hmm.
but the city of Fort Worth paid more out to those family members for their their design negligence or negligent supervision. Then they have, you know, Gregory Adams, who had his arm shot off by a police officer. His name is slipping my mind right now, but he went down and changed his name, Courtney Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Courtney Johnson went down, changed his name at the family court building, and is now a police officer still in Tarrant County. He's just not with the city of Fort Worth.
Wow.
So you have a police officer in the city, you know, in the county, who conceivably, if he arrests somebody, has to go testify, and those family law records are available where he filed to change his name. And so this is just policing in America. There's some stuff that should exclude you from policing because the public gives so much authority to police officers to stop us, to take our freedom away, if but even momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom has a higher value than life. I'm going to tell you this. I know I get kind of wordy sometimes, but I tell juries this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The Israelites wanted freedom. Slaves wanted freedom. Our
mm-hmm.
military will fight for other people's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom, therefore, if people will die to be free, then freedom has a higher value than life. And so to be able to stop someone's freedom, to abridge and truncate and cut off someone's freedom, even momentarily, is a significant amount of authority for we as Americans and people traveling in America to give up. And so we don't want to just give up that authority to any old body. And
mm-hmm.
for too long, police officers have been allowing any old body to become cops, and that has to stop. I believe they're starting to see the writing on the wall, and the way to get stuff done in America, protesting and cutting checks, because municipalities and companies don't like cutting checks.
Well, let me ask you this. Will police reform come with bloodshed? Because it's not something that I see easily happening.
Of the citizens, you know, really, it's when you look back historically, it always seems to be that one event that was the last straw
mm-hmm.
that led to the real change,
mm-hmm.
and so you know. Before I started practicing law, the older my mentors and stuff used to tell me, Leon, you know, marijuana used to be a felony and all this. You got folk in prison long time over a joint, this kind of stuff. All it took was for the right person to be impacted.
Mm.
And then the laws changed. So when you students at UT, you know, whose parents had influence, now all of a sudden, they know the state representative, and they call over, hey, Bill, friggin', my son just got arrested for weed. Shoot, you and I used to smoke reefer. Can we change these laws and make it not a felony so that I just didn't waste $120,000 sending my kid to college? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Once it affects the right person,
mm-hmm.
once the right person gets killed or it's just – so gross of a thing, Bloody Sunday, shook
mm-hmm.
America to its core because it was broadcast on TV and it became unpalatable to even the hardcore people. And I was like, yeah, we can't get over this hump. This just looks bad and it's not going to go away. So as unfortunate as it sounds, apparently the right person hasn't gotten killed yet. It didn't take a Tamir Rice, a kid who was playing in a park with a toy gun where he's supposed to play, to get killed. That wasn't it. It wasn't George Floyd. It wasn't, you know, a Tatiana. It wasn't Breonna.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't you know, my man in Minneapolis, I'm tripping right now, you know,
Philando
who
Castile
had a license, Castile, Philando, it wasn't Brother Philando. So who is it going to be? Is it going to be Brother Tyree, where America says enough is enough? The numbers are there. The data is there in almost every major city across this country. Guess who's being stopped, cited, searched, and arrested more so than any other demographic in the city? It's black people.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't keep saying when we're not the majority of the population, you can't keep saying it's not a racist issue.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, you can't keep acting like you're surprised that 400 years of slavery and 400 years of laws that were written on the books and dehumanizing of a people, why are you acting so surprised that it worked? And
well,
we're still trying to fight our way out of it to this day.
Well, let me understand. Are we literally saying that, you know, whenever, if somebody's ever been in law enforcement, maybe you don't know this, but every day when they come to work, they go to roll call, and they go over a list of things that have happened in the community or whatever, things they need to look out for or whatever. So do you literally believe in these roll calls? They're saying, be hard on black people or watch out and do this or that, you know, when you're in the black community as opposed to over in Tanglewood, or is it less, or is it more subtle than that? Because how do we get here?
Absolutely. It's absolutely more subtle than that. Again, it comes with the person that you recruited to be the cop in the first place, that who wasn't properly vetted, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It comes with failing to recognize inherent and racial bias,
mm-hmm.
how our communities are portrayed in writing, ghettos, hoods.
Yeah.
You understand?
So when
I see a body cam video and the police officer is talking to a black person, hey, where are you and your homeboys going? Well, if I was a white dude, you know, are you finna ask me where me and my homeboys are going?
Right.
No. You understand what I'm saying? And so when you put cameras all over our communities and police officers all over our communities, I say it all the time, as beautiful as you are, Carrie, the longer I look at you, the more flaws I'm going to find.
Right.
So if you put a bunch of police officers, you put 100 police or 50 police officers in 100 square block neighborhood, one cop for every two blocks, and that cop starts writing tickets, you're going to start thinking that the people in that neighborhood can't drive at all because they're getting a buttload of tickets coming out of that neighborhood. But conversely, if you have 100 blocks and two cops, well, they ain't going to be able to write as many tickets as that 50. And so you're going to think, well, the people in that neighborhood are doing something right, when it's just a matter of you inundated that neighborhood with cops. Are you following me? And so it all factors in, and we have to recognize that we have to vote. If voting wasn't so important, they wouldn't be doing all that they can right now to suppress our votes, give us long sentences so that we can't vote, you know, hinder our voting rights. It matters. And so I only have a few more minutes before I had another engagement. So, and I want you to be able to get to some callers.
Go ahead, Leon, finish.
No, I want, you know, I want to be respectful of everybody's time, and I don't, you know, but I appreciate I do want to say this. The L. Clifford Davis Legal Association is going to be going around the county. I think right now we're setting up something with Cornania, for Southeast Tarrant County to present on as a follow-up to our nightly debriefs during the trial, just teaching people about the criminal justice system and police reform and what can be done, and we're going to go from there. I think we're getting 2 days later. I think we're looking at being in Como. And so if your church, your organization wants the L. Clifford Davis Legal Association, some of the greatest legal minds on the criminal side in Tarrant County, old and young, to come out and speak and speak frankly and candidly. Give us a holler.
We will do it. Tell them how to reach you.
We have our website on Facebook. We are on social media, L. Clifford Davis Legal Association. And I don't have that email, but shoot, if you can't get a hold of the association, get a hold of me at 817-737-LEON. That's two numbers and a name, 7-3. If you forget the third number, go back to the 7.
Leon Reed, thank you so much for stopping by tonight. We appreciate your wisdom always.
Bless you, and I appreciate what you do.
Thank you. Good night, Leon.
All right,
y'all, listen. I see Christopher Marino's on the line. I see Pianki is on the line. Good evening, Christopher. How you doing? Good evening, Pianki.
I'm good, Carrie. Hey, thanks a lot for that, Leon. That was some good words.
That was some good words.
Hello, Carrie. How are you?
Fine, how are you? Listen, y'all, I couldn't cut him off. He's so good. He was giving us so much information tonight. I couldn't cut Leon off. And he had to get out of here early anyway. I don't know if y'all caught that part, but he had to get out of here early. So that's why we let Leon finish tonight. Well, you know, police reform. We all see what's going on in the country right now. After the Tatiana Jefferson trial was seen all over the world, and then we saw what just happened to Tyrese Nichols, you know, with those videotapes being released out of Memphis. You know, police reform is what's on everybody's, table today. How do we get there, though? How do we get there?
Yeah, what are your police reform going to look like?
Oh, listen, I'm glad you asked. I got about 30 things I changed. But I'm going to let Christopher go first, and then I'll jump in. But I got about 30 things I changed immediately.
I would just have to say that the one thing that is foundational to anything happening, because if you really diagram the way things are playing out, what we've been talking about already on the show, it's the one thing is transparency. Because this is the problem with organizing, this is the problem with public awareness, public engagement. And when you don't have transparency, and this is what causes us problems. If you don't have transparency, then the productive diplomacy and democracy falls apart, because all you have are competing controlled narratives, and it drives people insane.
Carrie, let me ask you a question. In Memphis, who's responsible for the police?
They don't have city manager style of government in Memphis, so that would be the mayor.
That's your answer.
That's the wrong answer. It should be the people.
It's the people that's in charge of everything, but they don't do it. That's why things run awry by irresponsible people.
Well, how would the people know how to take leadership in a situation like this?
Because the people are the one that's complaining about the crime.
Okay.
If you don't want them five police officers in Memphis, St. Louis would take them.
Ooh.
Anytime you have 149 car thefts in 7 days, when you got 13-year-olds carjacking, you got 17-year-olds shooting at the police, St. Louis would take them.
Wow. Well, let me say this then. Okay, I can't take credit for this. Tara Rice said this to me the other day. She said, "Why don't we have a no-fly list for police?" When you're going through TSA at the airport and your name is on that no-fly list, they say, "Mr. PN, you cannot fly today."
Well, they should. I recommend that they have a national registry where communities can check and see if a police officer is on there, like the instance with the cop that shot the kid to be right. But those are minuscule. That's nowhere near the problem. The problem is the criminality.
Let's go back now, because if I can be allowed to resign from here when I do something stupid, and I can go down the street to the next police department, and they hire me, then that means that if there had been a no-fly list in place, I couldn't have done that. Right?
You know, you got 30 counties out of the 3,000 counties in the United States where all these crime is happening. If you took them counties out of the mix, your crime would be like, it would be nil to nothing in the entire country.
Okay.
Everybody want to reform police. When are we going to reform the people that interact with the police? Have you been to a public school lately?
Well, no. But I know.
Well,
I
tell you what. Go to a public school. I mean, talking about one where, you know, things are so-called rough, and see how you like it. You know, if a teacher has two students fighting, I don't know in every situation, that teacher can't break those kids up. You know why? Because they stand a chance of being sued. They got to call the police. It's working in the school.
Well, PA, okay, now we know that there's a lot of issues with parenting. We get that part. And we know there's a lot of parents that are not raising their kids like they should. We get that part. But at the same time, the police department, I know, cannot fix everything, but at the same time, we do not expect the police to be as bad as what we see out in the street, because we can't have that. You know, no.
Well, then you're looking at a few cases, Carrie. That out of the tens of thousands, millions probably of interactions with citizens and the police, none of them end up like of that. And that was not police. That was something else going on there between one of those cops and that young man, that man, and another person, another woman.
But you know what, Tyree? Go ahead, Chris.
Can I try to deconstruct it a little bit for you, Mr. Yankee?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I'm attacking the same issue you have, but I'm going to attack this from my experience in the military leader and discipline and culture. And you know what? The thing that I have to say is we can talk all day about criminality, right? But what the police raise their right hand and state under oath, okay? Just like a soldier. What a soldier raises his right hand and states under oath is that he is willing to make the sacrifice to honorably serve and protect the community. And that means the police need to be disciplined to suppress their emotional reactions. If you've got, I'm just saying, that you can't.
Well,
you can't
I understand
have
what
the,
you're
you
saying.
You can't have the badge being judge, jury, and executioner.
I understand what you're saying, but when these kids in St. Louis shoot at the police, they're not shooting at the police finger. They're not shooting at the police leg. They're killing cops.
And I understand, but I understand exactly what you're saying, but let's also sit there and say that, I mean, I know it happens, but I mean, we're not catching that.
The news service is the culprit.
But it's not.
Well,
I've been
and we can't
at,
come
I,
up with
I've
these
been,
excuses. Well, you know, and here's
no,
another
no,
thing. You and
I've
the,
been
the,
shot
the,
at
the grandmother
daily
talking
basis.
About the mother's grandmother talking about going to Washington D.C. What? The federal government cannot control local police departments. They can't do it.
Okay. Well, you know what? Then you got to put it on the city manager and the mayor. But like
no,
I think
no, it
I
goes to
like,
the it's the state
the
that allow okay. It's the state constitution that allows Fort Worth to exist. It's the state constitution that allows police officers to exist. It's a state constitution that gives the police officers the right to use deadly force.
I
mean, that's the state. Now, what you have in your community is up to you. It's the same thing with your schools. Like Ferguson. Ferguson was 70% black, 67% black. The people in Ferguson wanted tough policing. And because if they didn't, they could have changed it at any time they wanted to. When Mike Brown's mother ran for city council, guess what? Blacks didn't come out and vote for her.
But, Cynthia, let me say this. First of all, okay, let me say this real quick, Christopher. Let me say this, Bianchi. First of all, we know the people are not as abreast as they should be on how to do things. So just to say go and take over it and get this done and get that done, I think it's going to take some organizing to do that. But at the same time, like someone said at the funeral, we shouldn't be scared of the robbers and the cops. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you're
so,
right. Okay. You know what you're going to be scared of? Your taxes is going up. Those poor blacks that's left in Memphis and all the other blacks that's left, the ones that could, they gone. So guess who's going to be bearing the burden of those taxes for public safety? The people that's there. Taxes got to go up. You know why come they didn't? They wanted to get that stuff, the information out? Because they didn't want a riot where businesses was destroyed, thus by affecting their revenue. They ain't got no money. And then when these lawsuits come in, the insurance company are going to say, well, if you want us to cover you, you're going to have to pay double your premium. And the authority are going to say, well, people, we got to raise your taxes to pay these premiums.
But you know what? The city spends money on what the city wants to spend money on. So I'll be honest with you. If, in fact, they kill that man like that video camera, those video tapes show, then if the city has to pay out $200 million, so be it. Because in my opinion, it'll send a lesson to the city that you're going to train those officers when they get out there. Either they're going to do what they told or y'all going to have to pay. So if it takes a lawsuit like that to set the record straight on who's supposed to do what when they're on the job for 8 hours a day, then so be it.
Well, you know what they should do? All the police should go on a sick pay, the whole police department, and see what happens.
You know what? And I say this, let them do that and then let us fire them and then let us dismantle the police department and build it from the bottom up. Let's do that. So let them all.
Yeah, but you're not rebuilding the culture. You know, all that stuff sounds mean and tough and good, but it don't work. St. Louis City, their budget for public safety is over 51% of the budget. 51% of the budget, which includes police and fire. A city can't operate like that. Nobody's moving in. There's no new businesses. You can't tax the people anymore. They redline these. You know what redline is good? Redline tells you where not to buy a house. It tells you where not to send your kids to school. It tells you where not to drive because insurance companies put that information out.
If you're a certain color, right?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make no difference. Money is money. But since we're talking, when I'm talking about, you talking about these black communities. Blacks say they want to have their own police. They want to have a black police chief. They want to have a black mayor. Well, they got it. And you still got these problems. And you know,
well,
City of St. Louis just hired a white police chief.
Memphis, first of all, Memphis does not have a black mayor. They have a white mayor, and they have a black police chief, and that's C.J. Davis. And we know C.J. Davis is under fire right now because she was involved in a sexual, some type of a crime that somebody had been involved in that was a police officer, and she helped to cover it up. And so then
What about the mayor of New Orleans?
Ain't on New Orleans tonight, so I don't know.
Yeah, the black female mayor who's married and having a relationship with a police officer.
Well, we all know New Orleans is another planet, man.
It's another world.
But what I'm saying is this. Until you get this, until you go back to the where these individuals are, and it's not all. You just got a large proportion of individuals that's committing these crimes. Commandeering an intersection, doing these spin-arounds with your car, who in the heck wants to live around that? In Memphis, they stopped the interstate highway. Why are you stopping the interstate highway? People that's traveling through the city don't want to be putting up with that. That's your problem.
That was to say to the city, listen to us. You're not meeting our demand, so you're making us take these measures. That's why they blocked the freeway. They blocked commerce, so they said, you're taking our lives, we're taking your money.
That's a felony to block a interstate highway. In Missouri, if you block an interstate highway, that's a felony.
Well,
the people on the highway, see, here's the thing. You want to draw people who don't have nothing to do with your city into your mix. That's not their responsibility. That's your city.
Well, see,
don't
Yankee,
stop
you know,
me.
Let me ask you this. How old are you, P. Yankee?
I'm old enough to know better.
Okay. We're going to leave it right there. Okay, so we know you old enough to know better. I pray that they never stop you and do you like they've done so many others. Because I think
why would you want to say that I have walked up to police officers to talk to them? One stopped them was the mayor of my house. I walked up him. I had a gun on, and I told him. He said, "I wish more people like you wore guns." I was taught, and I taught my kids, my children, to obey authority. They respected authority at home. They respected authority when they went to school. And they respect authority when they go out in the streets. You know, and I hate to say this, if the man had a Mr. Nichols. Now, when the police snatched him out of the car, you knew there was something going on. Because when police normally stop you, you've been stopped by the police, Kerry. They park up, they pull up behind you, and they stay there for a minute or two till they run your place. Then they get out, they come to your door and window and ask you for three things: driver's license, financial responsibility, and registration. But if it's something else, like they have stopped you finally after a pursuit, they open the door, they gonna snatch you out because they've got to handcuff you. Because when you run from the police, it's a felony.
If I had Tyree Nichols' legs, I'd have ran too. No.
See, you basing that because you seen the end.
He was taking an ass whooping, Yankee.
Listen to me. I'm getting ready to get off here because I get tired of arguing with people. Because if you're arguing, you still got the problem. I don't have these problems. You got the problem. But if he had a went on and complied, he might have got an ass whooping, but he would still be alive. It's when he ran that up the level. I'm sorry he got killed. I'm sorry he lost his life in the long run. But, you know, it is what it is.
Now, Bianchi, the truth is, we will never know if that's true or not.
We don't know if he stayed there.
Right. No, I'm saying we don't know if he had stayed there, he would have still died. You see what I'm saying? We won't know that. We'll never know that. Right?
Here, I can just say one of the things, and you kind of hit on it, and you threw some words out there, and it kind of tells my story. And I've heard people say this over and over again, and I'm 48 now, I think, almost 48. But in my experience in the military, and I worked in the Texas juvenile justice system for 6 years, and the thing that I know about respect, there's two. You taught your kids the protocol of compliance. That's what you taught your kids. You didn't teach your kids. I mean, maybe you can say what you want. I'm not fussing with you. But I can tell you, because respect can't be taught. Respect doesn't – authority doesn't command respect. Character commands respect. And what I can say about the kid, like you're talking about the kids these ages, I came in with the – and I do completely sympathize with everything you're saying. I know it is frustrating. I know the statistics and all of this stuff. I know the things that we see, but I can tell you that, and it's biblical. It's just like what Jesus walking on water. If you go with God and you pray and you exercise, and I always say this when I talk to people, disciple, the discipline is the root word of disciple, or disciple is the root word of discipline. So I always point that out. And so when I started to work in the juvenile justice system coming out of the Army, I had been to war. I had been through some crazy shit. But there ain't nothing crazier. And this juvenile justice system wasn't the count. I was working at the state level where we were dealing with the capital offending youth. You know, the worst of the – I mean, if you want to – I don't like to use the name the worst of the worst because I don't throw them away like that. But what I can tell you is that – There's a breakthrough to be had if you are being disciplined and professional, and you do have the power. Recognize this. There's two things that are different: control and power. If you are going after somebody with your authority to control them, okay, that's going to offend them. They're not going to – people don't respect control. They respect power. And the power is – I've got this from Schindler's List. The difference between control and authority and control and power is that when you have the power, that means you have every justification to be a beast and to brutalize somebody, but you choose not to.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. You say you're 46 years old.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're 46 years old. If a child, if you told a young man, a young teenager, you got their attention, they said to you, yes, sir. And you told them to do something, and they said, yes, sir, I will, and they immediately went and done it. Is that a demonstration of the character?
Oh,
and
yeah,
if it's not, how many more tribulations do they have to do?
They come if I have the power, because the kids respect that I have. The kids respect the power. Yes.
What do you do with the power? You a teacher.
Can we talk about police? Can we talk about police reform, y'all? Please.
Well, it's the same thing.
No.
Then what is police reform going to look like?
Let me tell you what police reform is going to do. Okay, police reform is going to tell us that this is what we're going to do. What we're going to do is from now on, we're going to forget all of this, and this is the way we're going to conduct business from now on. So what we're going to do is we're going to all get us some insurance. So when we go to work every day, our wives can remind us, like Al Sharpton said, we don't want to lose the house. We don't want to lose the car. So go to your job and act like you got some sense. That's what getting some insurance going to do. You know, and so if we got rid of that and qualified, if we made them get insurance and we got rid of qualified immunity, then all of a sudden an officer would go to work and he would do 8 hours and he would go home, because he would realize anything other than that jeopardizes everything that I have.
Well, you can't remove qualified immunity, because if somebody put handcuffs on them, they can say, well, you broke my arm. That ain't going to work. Self-insurance, where they become – they carry their own liability insurance. I wrote that in a white page. Yes, that would be cool.
Okay, but no, I think qualified immunity is like this. If somebody just had a case like that here in Arlington, Texas, recently, and won it, qualified immunity says this: you have a board that looks at what you did, and then they say, "Then listen, I think this was excessive, or I think this was justified." And so I think qualified immunity goes before board. You don't just lose it. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's every case is case by case. And so I think that should be on the table, that you don't just automatically kill somebody and everybody say, oh,
all right,
you know,
I hear what you say. And why don't you do this then, Carrie? You're a citizen of Fort Worth. You got the ability to make citizens' arrests. Why don't you make the arrest?
I'm not going to go there.
No. It's a fact. You, a citizen, have a right to make a citizen arrest. Then why come the citizens are not making the arrest?
Now we going up to the
qualified immunity is not important.
Well, wait a minute. So we're going to go to – who are we arresting, the police officer, or are we arresting regular citizens?
You can arrest whoever you think needs to be arrested.
Okay, so we're going up to the big bad police officer who got a badge and a gun, and we're going to say, you just committed a crime, so now therefore
in Texas,
I'm
are you? And I'm sure in Texas, if you are a Samaritan and you see a police officer being beat, you got the right to pull your gun out and shoot the person that's beating them. Or if I see somebody that's beating you, I got the right to come to your rescue and use my force if needed.
Okay.
And that's you made the point. You made the point, Mr. Yankee, about qualified immunity. When qualified immunity came up, it was about 100 years ago, because 100 years ago, we didn't have these massive police departments that we relied on. We had citizens' arrest. If someone was breaking, if someone was stealing candy from your store, this, that, whatever, or whatever, you snatched them up, and then you told somebody to go get the sheriff. Or if somebody we didn't have 911, we didn't have police that we were just totally dependent on for law enforcement. So what happened, we didn't have qualified immunity. And the reason that they came up with qualified immunity was to grant, to boost the police's authority. Because the police can't be sued for doing the same thing as they. If I do everything, if I follow every general order on the police, if I'm a police if I follow every general order and do everything just as perfectly professional in the policing sense that a police officer does, and I shoot somebody, I still get sued. Whether it's self-defense, they're going to take
this,
you to a grand jury.
That's what you call justifiable.
Justifiable
homicide is what it's called.
But I'm going to have to go to trial. There ain't going
to
be no
well,
judge.
Well, you have the only reason you go to trial is that the prosecutor or the grand jury indict you.
Okay.
Well, I'm all about citizen's arrest. I'm all about citizen's arrest, but give me qualified immunity. And then it's
yeah, well, your state legislature already has said that you are not going to be charged if you act in the effort of a good Samaritan.
Okay, let's stop. Y'all, because listen, we got 28 other things we got to hit you, and either y'all going to agree or not agree. But we can hang here all night.
I'm waiting on you to tell me what else it's going to look like.
I'm
going to
tell you. IED cannot just continue to be a place that does record keeping, because literally that's all they do. You go tell them your story, and then they tell you how your story couldn't be true, and the officer didn't do anything wrong. And so all they do, therefore, after that is keep a record and keep it in his file. So we got to either do away with IAD or make IAD do what they say their job is to do, and that's to look at these cases case by case and determine whether or not the officer really did do something wrong. So IAD ain't working in its current form.
What else? I can't respond to that one because I'm not familiar.
Okay.
I can tell you real quick on the IAD. The IAD is exactly what it is, and it's the misunderstanding of the people that make that a system to where it don't work. IAD is internal. That's for cops to snitch on cops.
Okay.
If a cop violates your rights, or if a cop does something in his official capacity that meets the standard of a criminal offense, then you go to the police station, you put an affidavit, and you get a police report for a criminal complaint. You don't make an IAD. IAD is administrative. That's for cops to snitch on cops.
What
I'm
else,
glad
Carrie?
You said that. So that tells us right there that the citizen has no place to go. Because if you can't go to IED, and we know we have the Office of Police Oversight Monitor here, which basically they don't do anything. They basically write policies that don't ever get implemented. So we don't have any place to go. So therefore, we need a civilian review board from people made up of the community that determine whether or not they find fault and what the officer did. So we need that.
And yeah, well, a review board with no subpoena powers don't mean nothing, but go ahead.
And they need subpoena
powers. One more quick thing on the IAD, really quick, and it's what a lot of people don't understand. There is a thing called the Garrity Rule, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a law, it's a precedent. Let me tell you why they want you to go to the IAD, because what the IAD does means that when you make an IAD complaint, and even if the cop did something criminal, right,
mm-hmm.
what the IAD does is they call that cop in there and they do an interview and they give him a Garrity warning, all right? And what the Garrity mm-hmm. warning says that he has to comply with the administrative procedure, right? He has to answer all the administrative things for the administrative matter. So they can investigate, and if he doesn't comply, then he can be fired. But listen, anything that he says to his in the internal affairs, it can't be used against him in court.
Oh
my God. It's like a Fifth Amendment on steroids for cops. If the cops, while they're in the IAD, while they do the IAD interview or investigation, they have to transfer from Garrity. And they have to say, we intend to – so everything that cop – like Aaron – that's how Aaron Dean got off. That's why they do that walkthrough with the goddamn Cleet Daffron lady. Oh, because they've got Garrity rule. When IAD does this, they've got this thing called Garrity, and that's what IAD does. So now the police have all the information that they need for a cover-up, and they can't use – and none of it can transfer to a criminal proceeding. Okay, so what they do is they get everybody's story in order, and that's how you get the shit that we saw on the stand with Darts having their story together about that's what happens when you use IAD.
I'm glad you informed us of that. I didn't know that. You know, another thing, when in the case of Aaron Dean, if you follow the trial, you know that Aaron Dean, the person who initially gave him his psychological said, this man is a narcissistic personality. This person is basically domineering. You know, he's not someone who's going to work well with others. You know, in essence, he's not fit to be a police officer. He said, and he told them that on the psychological. So that, therefore, right there, Aaron Dean should never have been a police officer. But they overrode his decision and let Aaron Dean go before three other people who were on a panel, allegedly some type of psychological panel, and they decided that Aaron Dean was in
fact. So he was afforded his due process according to the 14th Amendment.
And we see how that turned out. He killed the Tatiana Jefferson in 77 seconds.
Yeah, but that was him killing that came afterwards. How many times had it been since they said he was okay before he killed her? So all the times in between those two, he was fine.
But see,
he also had a criminal. He also had a criminal record as a sexual misconduct. He forced a girl when he was an adult at college. He forced a girl against the table and groped her breast against her will.
Was he charged? Was he indicted and charged and convicted of that?
He got a He got it downgraded with a citation only fine. However, in his appeal, in his job interview, they had all the files, and he pretty much admitted, "I just made a mistake." He told them what he did, and how they knew what he did, and they said that's okay too. So you can fail a psychological eval, and you can be a sexual predator. And
according to that department, if they allow that, that's once again due process.
Yeah, we got the pedo department.
Let's go back, though.
Gary?
No. Let's go back, though, before we leave there. Had he not been hired, based on what that psychologist said, a Tatiana Jefferson might still be alive, or would still be alive, because he would have killed her that night. So we could have saved one life. No, right?
No, I'm saying, I said that it's the people that had to make the decision, they felt that everything was fine. Woulda, coulda, shoulda sound like what my daughter used to do.
Well, you know what? Woulda, coulda, shoulda to save the life, that part. So listen, if you're listening tonight and have a question or comment, or if you're on the phone line and have a question or a comment, basically you can press 1 if you're already on the phone line. Or if you're listening via the internet, you can call in at 515-605-9321, then press 1 while connected. So this is what I say. For everybody who's been hired, and they got the same pass that he did on their psychological and was given a second chance, I say every file should be reopened to determine if that was the case, and now they need to go back and review that person's record and see was that psychologist right. Because if they haven't already killed, it's a possibility that they will.
So all right, those records fall under the HIPAA law? Because okay, if it doesn't fall under the HIPAA law, then that's something to be talked about. If it's because of his mental state, then you cannot expose that to the public. But anyway, far what you've given is fine for where you – but I wouldn't want – so I don't know if police reform, and they're talking about national police reform, well, that's not going to happen because the different municipalities across the country, that's something they would have to choose. It's not for the White House. And it's very, very disingenuous for Kamala Harris to show up at a funeral and Joe Biden to be talking about federal reform. It ain't going to happen. They have no control over the states.
No. I say no. What she said is very right. We need to push the George Floyd Police Act through.
A federal policing act that's going to call for state and local police to act in a certain way is not going to go no place. It's just a showboat. They can't do it. Do you understand that? If that's the case, why do you vote local and state? Why don't you just vote for federal candidates and let them run your cities.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
I agree. I can agree with P Yankee right there. I said it's good for a talking point, but in the national political scene, it doesn't work. It's unconstitutional. The federal government doesn't have police powers. That's to the state. But the other thing is, too, even if we do that, we're open Pandora's box, because what do we want then? Do we want the FBI and the ATF doing the same thing that they did at Branch Davidian at Ruby Ridge? Do we want them storming in our house like they did Elian Gonzalez?
They're not supposed to do that unless they are assisted by the local police or the sheriff.
Yeah.
Why can't we do that on the federal and the state level?
Because the Constitution don't give the Congress that power. That power is with the state. The states, and you know I tell you this all the time, but you just don't want to believe it, do you? The states control the federal government.
The states control the federal government. Why? Because the people vote? I mean, why?
Because that's what the Constitution says. The supreme law. Do you hear what I have to say? The supreme law of this nation is that U.S. Constitution. Federal courts cannot make laws. Supreme Court cannot make laws. All they do is give opinions. And guess what? States don't have to abide by them. States don't have to abide by federal laws neither, if they think it's unconstitutional.
Well, let me add another thing then, y'all. Let's move on. The POA should not be stronger than the police chief. The police union should not be stronger than the people. You should not have where just because you have a group of 500, 1,500 officers that because they're paying dues into an organization that they can buy candidates, that they can buy police departments, something's wrong there. I mean, either we need to do away with those unions and restructure them, but that should not be happening. A POA should not be stronger than a police chief.
All right, that sounds great. What about the union at American Airlines?
Are they stronger than American Airlines?
I don't know.
Private enterprise.
Why did you say? Think about that, though.
How about the firefighters? How about the firefighters?
The firefighters are the same thing. But this is the problem with the police, the POA, that an officer can be found guilty of something, fired, and then the POA gets them a legal team, and then some kind of way they get their jobs back.
Well, that's due process once again, Carrie.
Well,
that's guaranteed by the 14th. That's
guaranteed.
You can't do away with the Constitution. The Constitution, 14th Amendment, guarantees procedural due process. It's the 4th Amendment that guarantees sustainable due process. Otherwise, government cannot take your property for commercial use without paying you due compensation. That's what the 4th Amendment authorized.
Well, thank y'all for all these laws tonight. Next thing is, I feel like any officer who's found to have a connection with any racial organization, such as the KKK, has got to go. That's automatic discrimination. We're
How
not
about
doing
the NAACP?
That. See, is the NAACP a racial organization? Because I understand it was founded by Jews and there's Caucasian people that are
Well, but when the NAACP put out a travel advisory warning blacks that's traveling through Missouri that they got to be careful because they stand a chance of being killed by white police. Now, you think Nichols heard that? And the first thing came to, well, wait a minute. No, it's not true. The first thing that came to Nichols' mind, oh, my goodness, I heard what the NAACP said. If the police stop me, they're going to kill me. I better run. And they end up getting them killed. So should not the NAACP be complacent and liable?
I've never heard that. And I dare to believe that.
All right, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you another question. At the January 6th rally, when Trump was talking to those people, they say that he instigated something that was already going on before his rally even stopped.
But see, you're a Trumpster, so you tell me. I missed that whole thing that day, so I don't know. I'm still confused about what happened.
Well, I'm just giving you an example.
Okay.
I'm just giving you an example. If they're going to use the same type of logic in that case, then you have to use the same type of logic with the NAACP making a public statement, showed in newspapers, on radio. NAACP is saying, blacks, when you travel through Missouri, you got to be careful because you'll get killed by a white police officer. Well, then they should have went on further and said, when you travel through Chicago, you stand a chance of getting shot.
Well, Bianca, you know, and I know that some people were traveling through the South years ago that were killed.
Chicago is not – St. Louis is not in the South, and we're not years ago.
We're not going to do history lessons tonight. Not one of my strengths, so we're not going to do it.
No, I'm just listening to your police reform.
We ain't going to do history lessons tonight. Another
well,
thing,
you got
y'all.
two of them I think is cool, the insurance and something else.
Okay, and so listen to this then. So as far as the video footage and the way they were releasing it out of Memphis, should we have those things released really quickly and not be listening?
No, you can't.
Oh, okay.
You can't because it's because it persuades juries.
Okay. Well, I mean, okay, the thing is, once these things hit the news, you know, I mean, you can't, you know, jury pools being swayed, that happens every day. So basically, either they believe that you're innocent or they don't. But, you know, there's no way you're going to find a jury pool that's going to say they haven't probably heard something about the Tyree Nichols case. You know, and so
well,
I don't know.
I hear what you're saying, but it is a reason to ask for a different venue.
Where are you going? Nashville?
Oh, there's places I ain't even thinking about what goes on in Memphis. It's just, did you know you had riots? Wait a minute, did you know you had riots in Atlanta the last couple of weeks? You hear about that?
No. What are they rioting
about?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, see, again, I didn't hear it. Okay, let's move on to the next one. So a civilian panel to deal with police hiring. So
you're absolutely right. You must have got my paper, didn't you?
You must
have got my paper out. Did I send that to you, too?
I must have. But don't you agree we need some civilians on the panel?
You should have a central depository for job applications, where when a chief of police, a fire chief need to hire somebody, they send down and say, send me up the next application in line. That way it does away with the possibility of nepotism.
But see, if there was, okay, let me say it like this then. If there were civilians on the board of hiring police officers, so even before
they
got in
do?
The door, They're going to look at that for what it is, not the fact that we need another police officer, but they want to look at it at from the aspect of, does this person make a good police officer? Would they make a good police officer?
They already got that, Kerry. They call it the police commission. They have police commissioners. Go ahead, sir.
They ain't here. What's Christopher?
Well, you need to create it.
You can take the you can say whatever kind of technical things. I think that the civilian authority, hiring authority, they should have some leverage at the table. However, if we just let them go, listen.
Well, because
is about transparency. If we got a civilian at the table when they do a job interview and review a resume, let's take all the power away from them. What it is the same thing as those election. Election people, overlookers. Let's just have three civilians that have access to the police administrative hiring process. And every time they do an interview, there should be a civilian in there.
Well, you have it already. You should have what's called police commissioners that deal with personnel problems.
We don't have that.
Well, then you need to put it in place.
Absolutely. We're putting it on the table tonight. Another thing, when we're dealing with a situation, a critical situation where police have injured someone, killed someone, we need to have people on the board to determine whether or not he comes back or not, or whether he loses his job. We need civilians on those boards. We shouldn't just say, okay, they need to.
I can't comment on that. I can't comment on that.
Why?
Because I can't comment on that. I don't know what the parameters would be. If a person injure somebody, well, how did it go? You have to have the union and lawyers involved in that.
And civilians.
This is a, but this is a, this, and this is the thing about what you don't understand. This is a right to work state. And I understand that there's a civil service element going on there, but in Texas, even the civil service element is highly diminished, except in the case of certain areas. And Fort Worth is probably the worst. Fort Worth is the worst one in the state of the Texas, where the Fort Worth police, Fort Worth POA, has are the puppet masters of everything in this county.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. I couldn't comment on that.
My next one is really good. My next one is really good. We know in the case of police shootings or in cases where they kill someone, we know that they give the officers 72 hours to write a police report. That's a law, but that law needs to be done away with. We absolutely need to know if you can take a child from the scene who had nothing to do with the crime, snatch him up in his drawers and put a blanket around him and go and make him tell someone who he doesn't know what he just saw, then the officer who just did the shooting should absolutely be required to give a statement that night. That's my belief.
Well, I don't think that, me personally, I don't think it should be done that night because you got adrenaline flowing and everything else, and you have to make sure that everything is accurate. So that's me. So that's up to the department.
How would it be accurate from an 8-year-old who just witnessed it, who doesn't have any police training at all? It's in the middle of the night. How would his story be valid then? And you want him to retestify to that 3 years later, but you're going to tell me the officer
I don't know anything about this 8-year-old, but I'm just saying in the case of police officers, anybody else, people that's involved in accidents or airplane pilots.
What that violates is the Equal Protection Clause and the Equal Rights Clause, because an officer that gives them a boost of status that's unconstitutional. That's not equal.
That part. So I think that should be taken off the table, and I think we need to be dealing with the fact if you shot someone, we need to know immediately that night what happened. What made you draw your weapon? What made you fire your weapon? What was the person doing? Did you fear for your life? We need to know all those things immediately before you get together with the other people that were at the scene, make up your stories, or, you know, decide you may get in trouble, so let me make this, you know, story good so I don't lose my job.
That's why they wear cameras.
Somebody's
got to look at the video on the camera and transport what they are viewing into a testimony.
That requires the cop following the procedure and having a camera and turning it on.
If a camera is not working,
fired.
They should not engage with an individual.
You're fired.
Yeah, let's go to the phone lines. 901-503. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk at Work. Hello.
Hello, Karen.
Hey.
It's Perry still.
Hey.
Hey, Perry.
Doing?
All right. That was a really nice note you sent me the other day.
Well, no problem. I'll keep on coming. How you doing, Perry?
I'm doing all right. Y'all talking about my hometown now.
Right. Tell us what's going on in Memphis, and what do you think needs to happen in terms of police reform?
We don't need police reform.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
why
we don't. They already got rules. They got rules and regulations. They just voluntarily violated themselves. They violated themselves. They had passed the point of apprehension. They just killed that boy, you know? Mm-hmm. You said, well, you're not supposed to resist. You're not supposed to resist. Well, they couldn't help it. They opened the door and snatched him out the top.
Mm-hmm.
They know what's wrong for that. And then a regular driving charge is not an incarceration. It's a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that. And then you got five police. And then they put the five police out front, but they didn't put the white boy out there with them.
Yes.
It's two white boys.
Oh, is it true?
There's two white boys that were there.
One was the EMT, right? The one was the police officer.
No, it was the police, white police.
The first one
he's the one you first seen that picture with the taser pointed at the Ty. I call him Ty. And he was right here, and I can't. That's why they were shooting with the taser.
I thought that was Preston Hemphill, who they named as the sixth officer, right?
The first one that tased him was the white guy.
Yeah, right. He's the white guy, but they had just five black police. You know, remember when it first came out, they just had the five black police picture.
Right.
And then later, I seen on the internet, they put that white boy on that with him.
Right, that was
Preston Hemphill.
But the blacks was the one that was beating him, wasn't they?
Who?
Hemphill tased him.
But it's not against the law to tase a person who you're trying to handcuff and they won't act right.
Oh, wait.
All the five initial officers that got charged, that's what happened after they came up to him after he took off on him.
I've been listening to your comment, Pion, and I have to agree. He had no reason to run. He had no reason to resist. Well, see, I was taught a long time ago when I was a little boy. Don't run from the police. Don't run from them. Donut eating, coffee drinking police. Because when they catch you, they kill you.
I know they're going to be out there. They'll whoop you. I've heard they'll whoop you. I ain't know they kill you. But something's wrong y'all.
That's it. If they got to run you down, instead of running from a fat police.
Well, you know what? When I was a kid, I got a whooping and thought my grandfather was trying to kill me.
Yeah, man. You know, like, I really hate that. I hate that happened to him. But then again, like I said, the Chief Davis said they know they went beyond the point of just a normal apprehension over the arrest. They went too far. You know, it's like they get some kind of gang mentality, some kind of adrenaline that drives them to, I want to kill somebody. You know, I remember one time, a long time ago, not that long ago, but a long time ago, two black police was talking. He said, man, they got here and whooped some ass, man. He said, man, I ain't about that. You know, I'm just going to do my job, man. I'm going to go out here and whoop me some ass. I said, man, why? I was looking at it.
But I'm going to go ahead and turn it on to what they're trying to tell you not to, because it goes with my thing about transparency. We're playing this off of the news media narrative. We've seen some videos, and we're drawing these conclusions and speculations, okay? But, you got to be spiritual about this, and you got to put yourself – you got to be empathetic. Put yourself in this guy's shoes. Now, listen, here's the thing that I say about the transparency, because this is being controlled narrative, okay? If this thing – this rumor that we've heard about the nookie-nookie going on, that was the whole premise of – And I felt that. I felt that when I saw the video, and I was saying it last week, that there's another – that these cops were staked out there. They were looking for him because they were at his house. They were in the vicinity of his house. And what I'm saying is they – anyway, I'm not going to get there, but y'all know the narrative, the story that's coming out that's really been – that the police don't want to confirm or deny. But let
and
me
that's
tell
wrong.
You what, it's wrong. What? No.
It's wrong that they don't tell us. Kerry just asked for transparency.
Exactly. But here's what I'm going to tell you. The reason that they don't want that narrative to get out is because if that becomes proven, that automatically amps everything up to that particular officer, capital murder, because it was it increases. If those facts come into play, are provable, that he sent that video and that he stalked him down, that's capital. That's not
well. You know, it's a rumor out that Trey was dating one of those police officers' ex-wives.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, y'all, the family asked y'all not to spread that rumor. The family begged y'all not.
Yeah, the man asked, don't spread. His father said that.
Well, they want to take things to Washington D.C. That's going to affect me at a federal level, which it really can't be anyway.
So I'm going to throw it out there real quick. If I figure out this cop with five buddies has guns and tasers and sticks and blah, blah, blah on me, And then I finally, like, I finally figured out what's going on, and that I'm sticking his wife? Well, shit, I'm going to run, too, because I only got one choice. Because I know if I was going to catch up with somebody that was sticking my wife, I'd be trying to kill him, too.
We ain't talking about the rumor. We ain't talking about the rumor. Listen.
Okay. You got to put all the possible. You got to put all the angles out there.
Well, that's the rumor that's out.
If they don't want to talk about
that's
it,
out.
For them
that
to snatch the door.
That motivated that police to kill him.
Yeah, for them to snatch the door over, open, that makes that a logical view. Why would you snatch the door open and want to handcuff him unless he had done something felonious or something else?
Adrian wants in on the conversation. Like, your phone has been open all the whole time. Good evening. Adrian, good evening. Okay.
Come on, Adrian.
Adrian?
Hey, Carrie.
Okay.
They do. Look, people do that stuff, Perry. You know that.
I know they do it. They do it.
Can we move on?
And you know, here's another thing. Here's another thing that we should come to terms to agree on. We are talking about human beings. Human beings, no matter what their skin color, they do things.
Hey, Carrie. I heard you bring me into the conversation. I had my phone on mute because I'm at work. But hey, good evening to everyone. I just
good evening.
I'm gonna go back out and just finish listening. Now, as far as this, like you said, Carrie, let's not bring in that narrative. You know, we just have to let that whatever's gonna come out. So I can respect that aspect of it. My thing is this: I don't like how they politicize it. You know. That's my. I'm gonna just be real with y'all. I hate seeing old boys show up every time one of these incidents happen. You know what I'm saying? Because these incidents take on new legs when anytime old boy shows up. And y'all know who I'm talking about.
Sharpton.
I ain't say Sharpton. I'm talking about Crump. I'm talking about Crump. Benjamin Crump.
Ben Crump.
Okay, so I said it to say this. I don't like how they politicized. I don't like the fact that, I didn't like the fact that old boy did the eulogy because he did the last one. I don't like it because y'all politicizing this. And this administration we have right now is not going to do anything about police reform, okay? We got to remember that Biden has a track record. Biden has a track record for mandatory sentencing or whatever that happened years ago under before he became president while he was a senator.
Yeah,
you know, Biden has a track record. They say Kamala has a track record for denying people their rights to free, you know what I'm saying, while she was doing whatever she was doing in California. She has a track record. I just don't like how they politicize.
The
so
well,
my thing
they politicize
is,
because they want
I,
the black vote.
I asked this question, and Mr. Pianga, I don't disagree with you on that. I don't disagree with you on that either. My thing is this: we talked about cameras. I heard y'all say, well, I think Ms. PX said, well, that's why they have cameras. That's why they have cameras. And y'all was talking about some past incidents. Let's ask this question: What did Rodney King do wrong?
Well, they didn't have no cameras then.
No,
and Rodney King. I can tell you what Rodney King. I can tell you what Rodney King then done. He ran from the police.
Hold on, Ms. Yankee. They didn't have body cameras then, but it was recorded. It was recorded what took place. It was recorded what took place. So you said, and you spoke to the fact that they don't want stuff to get out because it tanks the jury. Well, you got to realize this. Ms. Yankee, you got to realize this. A lot of these incidents get out based off of individuals recording police officers during these incidents. It's a lot of times policing. It's not the police putting out these incidents. It's the public. So the public has taken control of it because we know what the police do. What they do, they can dock the videos. They withhold.
All right, let me address that to you real quick. The court have to accept that as evidence.
Yes,
the body cameras, they do.
That's true. That's true. But no, I'm speaking to the jury aspect. You said, well, the jury might taint the jury. Well, most people, if they've already seen it, then I feel like anybody who's seen it, let me explain that to you.
During the jury selection process, the lawyers on both sides is going to ask each potential jury a question. And if you ask them that question, do you know about this? Have you seen about this? Have you made any predisposed decision in your mind? Then they're going to throw you out.
Yeah.
So
if you haven't already made your mind up,
he can't get a fair trial.
You ain't no good to him.
Well, you know what?
If they don't need a fair trial. I still said if that boy hadn't ran, I think he still would have been alive.
No, he'd still be alive,
probably. Now, let's speak to that situation. Now, look here, you all. Y'all keep talking about the young man running. Listen, he was complying. He was in compliance with them. It was five individuals, you know, and then it said that the same unit has had past discretion in the community of how they operate. He was complying. My question to you all, and I asked this question last week, Kerry, what did they say to that young man to make him say, you know what, I got to take a chance on getting home because my life is in danger? What was said to that young man? Something was said to that young man.
Well, we don't know. He wasn't there.
But
he shouldn't have ran.
No, but listen here.
Apparently
he felt his life was in danger. So,
I can agree with you.
He was complying.
If he felt his life was in danger, who would he end up calling? He gonna call the police.
Gentlemen, we weren't in his shoes, but we're not going to sit up and say he wasn't complying. He was complying. He probably ran, but he was complying. He was complying.
Yeah, but we're not going to sit up and say.
I don't know. I didn't watch that part.
Yeah, I watched when he ran.
Did he put his hands behind his back? Or did they have the tussle on him?
I hope they get exactly what's coming to them. Hang on for a second.
Did he snatch?
On top of him and tased him too, and he threw three of them off of him and jumped up and ran.
Well, that is resisting arrest.
Let me ask y'all this: what happened to you?
That's survival.
Bianchi, let me ask you this: nothing personal. Do your sons think like you?
Let me tell you, my grandson and a classmate of him had a statewide debate on things like this. They went up against teams in the state of Missouri, and they won first place. So they know the law.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That was just a question. It wasn't nothing personal.
And I hope you don't, because people get pissed off at me because I always throw the law out there and they don't want to hear it. But that's the way the due process works.
But I think what Terry did say, one thing.
The best thing you can do is let him arrest you.
Talking to Attorney Reed, and I do agree with, we our people just can't be active when it's police matters. Y'all got to be active when it's, we got to be active 24/7 politically. This is bigger than, you know what I'm
saying?
That's a civic responsibility.
Let me ask you something. If he had a up and ran, if he had a ran and ran, he lost, they lost sight of him. And when they found him, supposedly he had a hostage. Now what?
Man, that's hypothetical.
Yeah,
no, it's not. It has happened before.
Yeah, it happened, but not in this situation. not in this situation.
Listen, y'all, can I get to the rest of my things? Because you know what? We're running out of time. But I want to put this out there just in case anybody who has any ideas about police reform, let us tell y'all what we thinking, because I want to put it all on the table tonight, because I think the conversation needs to be open across the country. In my opinion, what needs to be on the table is that you should not be able to shoot an unarmed man or woman. If they don't have a weapon, you should not be shooting them. I'm sorry. If they don't have a gun and they don't have a weapon, why would you shoot and kill them? That should not be.
Unless it's some questionable.
And you got overwhelming force on your side.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And so that should not happen. And shooting a person in the back that is fleeing the scene should never happen. What you shooting a man who runs away from
you? Well, now hang on for a second. If a person is fleeing the scene and you don't know if they armed, it's the same thing. Like that guy in South Carolina, he ran and turned the corner. Now, if the police coming behind him and he turned the corner and he's holding a hostage, now what's going to happen? You know, in Chicago, that Mayor Lightfoot put out a command for police support, you cannot engage in a foot chase. That's silly.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
And here's here's the kicker. What do you do with your police dogs?
Well, see, the former police chief in Dallas, David Brown from Dallas, is their new police chief. He was a police chief in Dallas. And I understand everybody who's running for mayor right now said he will not be returning if they are elected. So unless Lightfoot gets back in, David Brown is saying goodnight to Chicago. So there's a lot of things that's going on in Chicago that don't make sense. I'm just going
to
say
that. Man, that lady needs to go.
Hey, Karen, real quick.
Maddie Parker's going to take her place.
Karen, real quick. I think the 72-hour thing you spoke of, I think that does need to change, because if I do something at my job, if I have an accident at my job, guess what? First thing they want to know, they ain't going to fire me on the spot. They want a drug test. No. What I'm saying, Ms. Fianchi, is you say all officers are not. We can't expect all officers to come to work and abide by whatever it is they're supposed to abide by. I think, they should be. Some testing should be done. What's wrong with that?
I think drug testing is different than making a statement, putting recapturing events.
You have to do a drug test
because the drug would dissipate within your body. I mean, it would wear off, just like if you had a hangover.
But drugs, he flipped
a lift truck on himself, and the supervisor, first thing he said, I want a drug test when you get to the hospital.
They do the same thing in car accidents.
Oh, my goodness. I brought up the drug testing because it alters people's way of thinking and doing. So that's why I said.
Your physical movement too.
All right.
Thank you, Karen. Now listen to this.
Hang on for a second before you leave. If a person is found to be under the influence of drugs, so the level of prosecution has to drop a level or two because he's not in his right mind.
But he ain't supposed to be able to work. He had an accident and he was drunk and they didn't give him a dime. When you go on your job and you're drunk under influence and you have an accident, they don't give you a dime. I doubt if they even pay the doctor bill.
Wow.
It has to be the same way for the police that it has to be for everybody else. If there is a reasonable suspicion, such as is the case that you have a victim lying on the floor to death dead, like a Tatiana Jefferson, and your supervising officer and these detectives show up, and there is reasonable suspicion. Nobody's presuming you're guilty, but if there is reasonable suspicion that goes into, then you know what? You need to be sitting down in the back seat of a police car, taking a ride just like anybody else. And we'll give you some water, have some coffee, then a detective's going to come in here, and we're going to say, look, we just looked at your video camera, and it don't look right.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what the hell happened.
But they're going to ask you for a breath of eyes. They're going to ask you for a breath of eyes anyway.
Fuck the police. That's all I'm saying. And I don't have that attitude. I don't have that attitude.
What'd you say? What the?
I'm not that kind of person at FTP.
Listen, yo, we got a couple more we want to get to. We got about 5 minutes left in the show. Another thing, we should not be seeing rookies riding with rookies, like we saw with Aaron Dean and Carol Dorch, and like we saw with these five police officers who all had 6 or less years on the force. We should not
right.
be seeing that. Yeah.
They got a hiring problem,
Carrie.
That's right.
We
can't hardly find nobody to be police.
That part. Well, they need to.
Yeah, they dropped a whole lot of requirements.
Wow.
I can be a police now.
And that's that's scary.
And I'm 67 years old.
Wait. Okay. So let me say this, y'all. Another thing. No rookies on the midnight shift in high crime areas. If you're already scared and you don't know what you're doing, why would they put you in a high crime area in the middle of the night? So you could be bumping around till you hurt somebody. So you should not be over there. If you're scared, what you over there for? You start.
They're disposable.
Oh.
They don't care about them. They're disposable.
See, that's not funny, but it's funny. But no.
And then you should say that there should be no female police chiefs.
Oh, I didn't say that.
I can tell you one more thing that would be helpful, too, is
okay.
In the academy, I think it should be the whole 6 months to third training, but I think at least 1 month or 2 months of that training to be in residence training to where they're in a dorm. They'll get passed or whatever, kind of like a basic training deal. Because when you got that basic training, when you don't just have this, it's easy to maintain your all those little secrets like Aaron Dean had going on with his psyche and everything. But when you're in an interpersonal environment for 24/7 under a little bit of stress and a little bit of that basic training style stuff, then that shit breaks down, and that's how you weed people out.
Yeah, I've seen people lose their mind in basic training.
And they flush them out.
Wow, yo, stop. Let's get about this. No falsifying a police report. I had one officer who's falsified 3 police reports on me. That should never happen. And even though I prove to the police department, the Fort Worth PD, my city council person, Mayor Pro Tem Gina Bivens, she helped him get out of it. The police chief knows, IED knows. But guess what? He's still on the job, and IED told me, listen, after we went back and forth about it, the lady finally got frustrated and said, listen, he may have lied on the police reports, but he didn't break any city policy. So where are we at when lying on a police report is not breaking city policy? And that's Officer Chavez, an MPO in the Fort Worth area. So how can you falsify a police report and not be in trouble?
That's against the law. That's against the law.
What you got to do is advertise that, because what it is, even if they don't want to prosecute, if you have the documents, if you have the copies of what he falsified, then put that shit out. I mean, you can redact whatever you might, like his personal address and phone number, social, but put those documents out, because that's a Brady violation. And what'll happen was he writes traffic tickets or whatever. These lawyers are going to be able to sit there and say, hey, okay.
He's
so
a liar.
If they've got, you're a liar. Step off.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put it in a lawsuit is what I'm going to do very, very soon.
Yeah.
Yo, let's talk about a couple more things before we get out of here tonight. We're going over.
I messaged you what I call the Ferguson solution. So take a look at that. Another thing you missed. A police officer should not make entries into their own personnel file like they was doing in Ferguson.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. How would an officer have his own personnel file?
Well, they did. Yeah. They may be having a relationship with the personnel office.
Now, listen, y'all, another thing is when you are called to a scene, so let's just say you've just been radioed that you got something going on in your area, why would you not then activate the dash cam from that point to the point that you get to the scene? Why would the dash cam not be on?
That would just
in
be
all the cases.
In many cases, it is. So that would just be
coming. That's arrogant. It's supposed to have it on all the time.
That's part.
Yeah, that's.
When you step into that car and you get that call, you should be bam, gone. You know, with the camera going. And then another thing, anytime you're putting a person in that car, there should be a camera inside that car with audio and video footage of everything that went on in that car.
We got that here.
It should happen. It should be activated. We should know what happened when you put somebody in your car. You're transporting somebody. We should know that camera should pick up the minute that person enters there, and we should know
and
what
then,
happened.
And then if the suspect lies and it shows on camera he lies, then they should get additional time.
And the police officer lied, he should get in trouble too, right?
Absolutely. Everybody should. See, the camera, body camera is to protect the police officer and also the citizen.
Let's talk about the body camera. When you got a body camera on, that body camera, anytime you go to a call, that should be turned on. And there should be no deviation from that. You should have that on at all times. Right. If that is muted, you should get in trouble for it. If there's
I believe one of the good things for reform would be to have the entire body cam, all of this digital data, the digital data that they have on patrol or whatever. I think that they should have a police ombudsman that controls all of that, exclusive of the chief's authority. It would be a separate entity, and maybe like a 10-person staff. And so everything, all of the police data, electronic data, all of the traffic cams that they monitor, all of that stuff gets to this server. And so when the police want to get some evidence of that, they have to go through him. But he is the filter. He's independent of the police, and he is the ombudsman of the police. I don't know. Think of a name of it. But it should be all of the police body cams, dash cams. All of the crime, maybe even all the crime evidence, put all of that data into a IT department that's independent of the police command.
We had a civilian review board in Memphis. It was a joke. Those folks just went down there for the free lunch.
You know what? And I went before them. He ain't lying. They sat there and act like they was listening to me. He is right. They looked good, and it was in a fancy building, but it ended right there. Y'all, listen, the chokehold. We need to stop putting chokeholds on people, and we should stop putting our foot in people's neck and back. I mean, you can't do that.
No,
first of all,
it has been proven that those are legal techniques.
It's just
barred.
Choke
on
the bar.
Yeah, choke. You
still be out. What if you have a bad dude that's throwing policemen around? Now what? You shoot him.
I don't mean to be out of context, but it was a white boy got killed just like George Floyd. Peter, Uncle, you sent it to me. They didn't do say nothing about it.
Wow.
No, because the narrative is black.
They treat white people different than they do black people. Black people make news. White folks don't.
But see, if you pay attention to Tyrese Nichols, if you look around, if you look at him laying in the hospital bed, down around the bottom of his neck, it looked like somebody choked him. Pay attention. Look at the bottom of his neck.
Well, why come the police didn't throw on the ground a drop weapon? and say he had a gun.
Why didn't they do what?
They couldn't do that. They couldn't do that. They've been they've been busted for that.
They weren't all in view.
They wouldn't have got away with
they weren't
that,
all in view all the time, Perry. The man
yeah,
ran,
they
right? And they had
to
find
him. Yeah, they wouldn't have got away with that.
Can I make
that,
one more statement to be done for the night? We're talking about this running from him and everything like that, okay? I'm going to sit here and say, you had 3-4 police officers with tasers, sticks, handcuffs. They jerked him out with beef. I don't know what it was, but they didn't jerk him out to detain him, arrest him. They jerked him out to have beef, and that's what fuck went wrong. That's why he got away. That's why they beat the shit out of him. That's why they just started spraying on him. They started barking and beefing with him. They were not performing any professional official capacity of nothing. They were there for some beef.
Man, I'm totally gone, man. They ain't going to beat this case. They got second-degree murder, and the evidence is overwhelming. They gone. That's why I'm saying these people are wasting their time with their protest. These police gone, man. This made international news, not just man, I look at RT, Press TV, and there's another one I look at. You know, it's overseas, man. It's overseas.
And let's talk about something else. When we talk about what we saw in Memphis that we've never seen before, when they said the officer has a duty to intervene, that should have been on the table. I don't know. How was that not already in police protocol? That an officer had the duty to basically.
Well, you know, it's just like they said that the officer had to should have went in when the in the school when the guy was shooting. That's kind of like asking. Is that asking an officer to go beyond the call of duty?
Heck no.
Carrie, what do you mean intervene, Carrie? Carrie, what do you mean intervene? Carrie, what do you mean intervene?
When they saw an officer, okay, let's just say you happen to be a good officer and you saw them beating the crap out of Tyree without cause, was it not your duty to intervene and say, hey, wait, stop, y'all going too far?
Now, but how far do you intervene? Do you wait a minute. Is your intervention verbally or does it get physically or you pull your gun out and shoot your fellow officer? You know you had a case in New York. Real quick. In New York, you had a case where you had a black female cop and a white male cop, and they was beating the suspect. The male cop was beating the suspect, and the black woman tried to stop him. He turned around and slapped her.
Oh, wow.
And then she ended up losing her pension.
Wow.
They did that in West Memphis, too. Slapped a woman so hard, knocked her teeth out.
Whoa.
So did
it. Let me say this. This happened in Memphis.
It was a riot about to take place
in Memphis, Tennessee. And the video footage is out there, and I'll find it. And there was an officer who somebody said something to, and they got him so upset, the officer ran to his car and popped the trunk and got the rifle out. And the female officer got in front of him and said, stop. Wait a minute. What are you doing? Stop. And even people were filming and everything, and she knew it, and he knew it. But she was saying, listen, you're going too far. And she did that, and that probably saved somebody's life that day because
right,
he had gotten
right,
a
right.
Huh?
Right, you're right.
Yeah. So had she not done that, somebody else could have had a gun. It could have been a whole shootout with him pulling the rifle.
We got a neighborhood in Memphis, Carrie. I can't remember the name of right off the bat, but these neighbors whooped the police up out of their neighborhood.
Perry, what about the time?
What
about the time when you had U.S. Marshals serving a warrant on a black man? Remember that one? And he was held up in the house?
I think that's the case. That's the case.
And what happened? Then what did the citizens do? They came out and started throwing rocks and bottles at the U.S. Marshals.
That was a mess. And I remember that. But the thing is, though, you got to realize the police are always going to be outnumbered. They may have more weapons, but they're always going to be outnumbered. So in my opinion, you still got to go to the scene with a certain amount of respect for the people.
Yeah,
you
but what kind of respect in that particular case? See, that's a particular case when I'm telling you that the people are the ones that's the problem. It ain't the police.
Well, that's
the people the problem.
I mean, he stole the car. He acted like he was going to buy it and stole it.
You talking about Brian Weber?
He stole the car.
But let me say this, though, since you brought that case up, and I was not going to be bring that up. His father's name was Sonny Weber. When that riot almost took place and people were throwing rocks at the police, do you know they charged that boy's father, who was standing right in front of police in front of that front line, they charged that man with 53 counts of assault, and he never threw one rock. Well, guess what? This week, they dropped all 53 charges after holding that thing up for 4 years. So is it fair for police to just charge you because you were at the scene? Right
they
there,
well, they did that on January the 6th. They did
that's
it on January 6th. People just looking, they charged them.
And they didn't have no lawyer, no representation or nothing. And no speedy trial.
And look what Rap Brown did. He killed two black marshals that were serving papers on him. I mean, that ain't the only time that kind of stuff happened.
Well, yo, listen, let me hit these last four because we're going over time before they cut us off tonight. Another thing that should never happen is basically no racial profiling on these traffic stops. We see that all the time. Black men driving a Benz, they want to know how you driving that Benz and does it belong to you? That should not happen. If a white man doesn't get pulled over for driving a Benz, why should a black man get pulled over for driving a Benz?
Because of the economic difference between blacks and whites. But you can't do that in Ferguson. You know why? Because on main streets in Ferguson.
That's why I got a white girlfriend. I let her drive on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. In Ferguson, that's all you see driving on the streets of black because the community is like it is and surrounding communities.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, but you should racially profile people in any community. Okay, y'all, let me get to the next one. You have a responsibility to render aid. If you shoot me and I'm bleeding out, you should not handcuff me, which is going to cause the blood to be, you know, go all kind of haywire in me, and then you leave me there and render no aid. You shouldn't be handcuffed.
Well, you can't do that. You got to handcuff the person. Just because you shoot them don't mean they still ain't dangerous.
They got protocols. They you don't have to handcuff. You don't have to follow, throw somebody's hand behind their back. If they are incapacitated and they require medical attention, you can put one handcuff on them and then handcuff them to the car or the rack or whatever. But no, what they do is they sit there just like what they did to what's his name, Tyree. They handcuffed him and then he kept falling over on the ground. Well, the fire department came and helped him, leaned him up against the car, and then whoever this dude was took the picture for his boo.
Oh.
I mean, come on.
Stop, y'all. Mm-hmm. Listen, and y'all, I don't know if they've done away with these across the country, but there should not be a such thing as a no-knock warrant. You coming in my yard or on my property, you
well,
ain't
you
got
gotta
no
have them.
A no-knock
you
warrant.
You know why you
got
to have them?
I've seen they
no, you know why you
got to
have them? Because what they'll do.
No-knock warrant, they kicked the door in, ran in and shot it.
Well, you know why they have those is because if you're in an apartment, the people will run to the toilet and throw the evidence down the toilet like drugs, then you cannot say where those drugs came from because all the apartment units use the same stack.
Yeah,
you got to win some and lose some. But no-lock warrants require military. That's a military operation. That's not a police operation.
Just busting up in somebody's house like that.
Well, you got to be sure what the hell you're doing.
And y'all
in Indiana, you got the right to shoot back and kill if you have to without any repercussions.
That's what I'm saying when they bust up in your house, man. You don't know who's busting up in your house. Unless you shoot them after one day first.
Ain't that what happened with Breonna Taylor?
We get into with that Tatiana Jefferson too. The same essence. You want to be a freaking, you want to be a dang cavalry scout, join the goddamn army.
Yeah,
what you got next, Carrie?
Last one, we got to get out of here, y'all. Listen, basically, after every critical incident, we need the officer's cell phones. I heard in Memphis, they took up their cell phones. I think that's an excellent idea. Just like they said the officer may have taken that photo, if he did, his ass needs to be gone. So absolutely, you need to know, did they text anybody after they did something stupid? Did they tell somebody they did something stupid? So absolutely, you need their cell phones after every critical incident.
Man, I told you, John. They can kiss their ass goodbye. They gone. They gone.
Oh, well.
I like how quick they did it, too. You know how quick they did it. They ain't take no time in this one. Went on and fired. They gone. And they fired the ambulance drivers, too. They gone, too.
Let me ask one last thing about the Tyre Nichols case. Should the police chief be gone? C.J. Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything falls on. The buck stops with her.
I don't think it's fair that the Memphis police would go out of the city and pick somebody else. We got women on the Memphis police force in there 20 and 25 years. They captains mm-hmm. and stuff. I don't think that's fair.
That's up to the police commission.
You'll never be a chief. That's not fair, man. That's just a glass ceiling for the employees. A regular police cannot be a chief. They're stupid. Why go out of town and get somebody? Ever since that lady's been here, it's gotten worse and worse.
Yeah.
Maybe the mayor made it worse.
I think the mayor had the fever for her.
Let me get out of here tonight, y'all.
I gotta get out of here, Perry. You're gonna make me hurt my side.
Thank you, Bianchi, Perry, Christopher, Adrian. Y'all, listen. Also, we want to thank Attorney Reed tonight for chiming in. Y'all, this was a great show. Even though we talked about such a serious topic, I really enjoyed the conversation. I want to say to the audience, thank you for listening. You are why we do what we do. Also, yeah, we ask for your support. We do. We are trying to take Let's Talk Fort Worth and Center Stage to a whole nother level. And we're definitely going to show you that as we cover this upcoming city election. We're going in like never before, y'all, and we want you all to be a part of it, but we need your support. If you have a campaign, a product, a service, or a nonprofit that you want people to know about, please consider advertising right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. However, if you don't have any of those things, we would still like you basically to donate to us, because we need your dollars to go to the next level. We want to compete like all those other outlets, media outlets we have here. Even though we're doing it on a small scale, we like to take it to the next level, and we ask for your support in doing that. Y'all, listen, we talked about the Tyre Nichols case tonight, and we know that we would not see what's going on right now had it not been for the protesters in Memphis. So we want to shout out again to Cassio Montez, Frank Gotti, Amber Sherman, Hunter Dempster, LJ Abraham, and Paula Burris, and Kareem Ali. They are doing it big in Memphis, y'all. And they say they're going to be the blueprint, and I am watching, because we are learning something every day about how to get disinformation in critical police situations out quickly so that the rest of the world can know exactly what's going on. So listen, y'all. Remember, police reform is something that we should all have on the table. We should stop talking about the next hashtag and the next person that's going to be buried, because we have the authority vested in us by the God that's within us to get something done if we all start talking about police reform and pushing it in our cities and states. So, y'all, with that said, again, it's been a great show. I enjoyed doing it. We'll see you next week, same bad time, same bad channel. Good night.